Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Texans training camp is happening now. Live from the Twin Peaks studios, Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner
and the show. Oh, we about to have some fun now, Houston. Dallas Braden, former big league pitcher, but he covers the A's now for NBC Sports California. Dallas, so glad. I've been seeing you on social media. I love it. The beard game is serious. I mean, serious. I got to give you credit, man. I can't be that. I can't take that long to grow that, man. I can't do that. You got a lot of patience, but. You're a pitcher. You played in the league. Where do you rate that as a baseball fight? Because somebody did go to the ground. Most baseball fights are stand arounds. But where do you rate that as a baseball fight?
It's not a fight. We don't ever really get to call baseball. That's what a big league fracas at best. A fight it is not. No, I need blood. I need blood,
blood.
To even start entertaining. A fight, absolutely. Make me bleed, or let me make you bleed, and then we can call it a fight. But yeah, that is not a fight. That is just a heated disagreement. That's really all baseball interaction ever really is. Until sans the Jose Bautista and Rougned Odor meeting at second base, which I think we all remember.
Yes.
But you look at that, you classify that as a fight. You look at everything else that we saw yesterday. That's not really a fight.
Dallas, can we start off with what all went down with this weekend with the A's and the Astros? Before I get to that, I want to start with your opinion of the Joe Kelly situation with the suspension and what all went on with the Astros. What are your thoughts just on that entire situation that led up to the 8-game suspension?
Well, something I want to, I think, put in everybody's mind is just to remember, just because Joe Kelly wasn't on the roster of the team that you feel was directly impacted in that moment doesn't take away from the fact that Joe Kelly is a player in that league, and that Joe Kelly and probably some of Joe Kelly's friends and colleagues throughout the league were directly impacted by the transgressions of the Houston Astros. So just because he wasn't on that roster at that moment in time specifically doesn't mean he wasn't impacted, and definitely doesn't mean he, as a player in that game, doesn't have the right to police the game the way that he did, because that's something we all know within the game was going to happen. Look, as far as blood being on anybody's hands here, it's not Joe Kelly. It's not Ramon Laureano. It's not the Oakland A's. It's not the Dodgers. And frankly, at this point in time, I don't know that it's even the Astros anymore. I think it's a lot that has to do with the individuals who put these restrictions in place, thinking that everybody else across the sport, fans and players included, weren't looking at that going, oh, that's only adding gasoline to the fire. That's not very bright.
Well, hold on, Dallas. Let me try to get an understanding here. Are you saying that you don't find anything that Joe Kelly did wrong in that situation? Like you can't be throwing at people's heads. Not 96. Like you can't throw it.
Well, that's where we tell. Look, do you want to throw at anybody's head? No. But Joe Kelly, if I'll remind you, is also the individual who set up a bed mattress in front of his home trying to dial in a changeup and missed the entire mattress, threw a ball through the front window of his home. So when we're talking about the specific individual, I think it's been proven that things can get away from him at times. I would never be an advocate ever in throwing at a guy's head. That's just something you don't do. But when that ball gets away, Alex Bregman did exactly what you want to see a guy do. When he get drilled, what do you do? Bat down, take it to first base. Not a word, not a look, not anything. If there's anybody in the Astros lineup or on that team that has handled it the way that as a player you would expect and like to see somebody handle it, knowing and addressing and acknowledging what they've done, Alex Bregman has done a fine job of that.
So since Joe Kelly can't hit a mattress, so he should be the last person who should be saying, I'm going to be the one to send message and throw it at somebody. Because he can't hit a damn mattress, so why should he be throwing it at somebody on purpose if he can't hit a damn mattress? You can never convince me throwing at somebody, especially high in the head area, is okay. We just need to – come on, Dallas. That was just wrong. You know he did that on purpose.
I'll tell you this right now. You and I are disagreeing about that, and it's because a message was sent and a message was received. And what did not happen is nobody got drilled in the head.
Well, can we fast forward? Let's fast forward to this weekend. And what went down. Do you think that any of the Lariano hit by pitches, you think any of those were sending a message, any were on purpose? And what is your opinion of the hitting coach, top step of the dugout, taunting a player that's actually in the process of going to first base?
Well, I'm not sure if everybody is aware of the entirety of the scenario. You got to remember Lariano and Bailey, those are two individuals that were flip-flopped for each other. And then with Castellanos, this is a young kid, right? But he's also a young kid who happens to be the one who drilled him two out of the three times, the last time being a backup slider, which you saw Ramon Lariano try to do his best, which I thought was beautiful, to help out a fellow ball player and tell him, you got to finish that thing out front just a little more. You're really not snapping that slider off. Was that intentional, that last one? No, not at all. And does the emotion of everything that we understand, does that fuel what we experienced yesterday? Absolutely. I don't think anybody is disagreeing with that. So what you saw in Ramon Laureano was take his third hit by pitch from a former team in the Houston Astros, a team that essentially has suppressed the Oakland A's over the last two or three years. I would say three, but 2017 – the A's finished fifth in the division. Not much of a conversation to have there. But you think about 2018, 2019. This is a team who has been in second place to the Houston Astros based on the success that they had doing what we know to be against the rules. So there's fire there. But Ramon Laureano was going to first base, wasn't he? We've all seen the video. We've all seen it. He's on first base. And then the bench coach, not the player, not the player, not the pitcher, not a team. No. The bench coach. A bench coach, a part of a team who has been protected by the commissioner's office, feels like he is in the position to get up on the top step and start bumping his gums, chirping at a guy to the extent it gets very, very personal. And I played with a ton of Latin American individuals. I played winter ball in Puerto Rico, where Mr. Cintron is from. I have a very solid understanding of how you do and do not interact with individuals in that kind of moment. There's things that you just do not say. And what was said is, it's not my position to tell the world what was said, but it was strong enough to have that man, Ramon Laureano, at first base, put everything aside and bolt right at Alex Cintron, who conveniently was taunting and agitating the situation and then found himself behind three of his own players. And at no point in time when you watch the full video did Alex Cintron make any move to go and finish the conversation he was requesting to have with Ramon Laureano, nor did he make an effort to help any of the teammates that were rolling around on the ground because he got up on the top step, hiked his pant legs up, and wanted to talk about something.
Dallas, I'm listening. Dallas Braden with this former MLB pitcher, and he covers the A's right now for NBC Sports California. Listen, you're not going to get an argument from me. That was just soft to me. That was weak from Cintron, and I don't know what that was about. You won't get any argument from me. I didn't have a problem with Liriano. You hit me three times. I got some issues as well, especially two times. But I want you to be honest with me, Dallas. You were a little fiery back then when you played. Now I want you to, if you're the pitcher and you accidentally hit a player, and then that player on his way to first base is making a fool out of you, trying to teach you how to throw a slider or throw a certain pitch, you're going to be just good with him walking down to first base like that? Dallas, you ain't got no words for him. Come on now, that was a tad bit disrespectful from Liriano to the pitcher. I know as hell you wouldn't have taken that. I know you wouldn't have taken that if some hitter did that to you. Come on now, be honest.
I'm going to be extremely honest. If I was the individual who had just drilled this guy for the second time on accident or purpose, whatever, in a series, knowing he's already worn it once before, I've hit him two times, I would probably be ready and expecting any sort of reaction from him, even if it was on accident. And if he starts telling me that I need to turn my changeup over a little more, yeah, I'm not going to be happy about that at all. But that's the point, is what happened between Castellanos and Liriano on the way down to first base is something that you would expect, number one. And number two, something that I think you're okay with in terms of Castellanos' reaction. It's something I'm okay with in terms of Castellanos' reaction. And it's something I think we should all learn to live with, the fact that that interaction between pitcher and hitter occurred. He just got drilled for the third time, not happy about it. Let me show you how to snap this off. The pitcher doesn't like that. They're just getting ready to get swept. He's not throwing the ball great. So there's a lot of emotion going on in that moment right then and there. But again, it was all settled by the time Liriano got to first base or in the neighborhood of. The pitcher, Castellanos, was a non-factor at that point. And it became about the bench coach doing something that I still just can't wrap my head around.
Dallas, you can't lie, though. You'd sit around that old hotel bar and have a couple cold pops and think, man, that old boy was pretty – that was pretty creative.
I ain't never seen nobody do that in my life.
Pretty good.
It's quality. But that's the kind of – even in that moment, fellas, that's what I'm saying. Even in that moment, Ramon Liriano has the ability to flush whatever anger might have taken him directly to the mound without even stopping and thinking about telling him how to snap the slider off. He had already sort of moved past it, yeah. Right? Like, I've moved past the anger, and we're now joking with you. I'm going to take my base, but I'm going to tell you how terrible you are. You've seen the scoreboard. You know you're about ready to drop the third game in a row. You know what's going down in the division. And I know you're not happy, but you're just going to take this right now.
Dallas, what about Dallas Braden, former big league pitcher, joining us, covers the A's for NBC Sports California. Hey, man, what about Dusty Baker? I mean, you're obviously familiar with him. He's a West Coast guy and been in baseball forever. He gets hired by the Houston Astros after A.J. Hinch is relieved of his duties. And to this point, man, I mean, there's been some tough spots for Dusty Baker. One of them, obviously, is him getting tossed out of games, popping off from the dugout, and then now the hitting coach popping off, and the Astros not necessarily playing up to par, even though they've handled some tough injuries, man. I mean, what do you think of Dusty Baker with the Houston Astros as of today and moving forward over the rest of this year and next year?
Well, I tell you what, you got to listen to my podcast with Barstool Sports, starting 9th. Download, subscribe, leave a comment, because Dusty Baker, being the West Coast guy he is, and me being the West Coast guy I am, I actually know Dusty Baker on a personal level, on a pretty personal level. I spent time with Dusty Baker out in a fishing boat on the San Joaquin Delta as a wee lad reeling in striped bass. So I've got a very good sense of who Dusty Baker is as a man, as a baseball man. And I said this the minute it happened, and I will say this until the minute he takes that uniform off. The best move the Houston Astros made was acquiring Dusty Baker, was signing Dusty Baker, because what did he do in that first press conference? He stood up there and turned around and took all the arrows in the back for a team, for an organization, for players he had nothing to do with, coming off one of the biggest scandals since the Black Sox. And that's why Dusty Baker is the man for that job, because all of the surrounding noise, everything that you want to get riled up about with the Houston Astros, he's a guy who understands when to put his arm around a guy, when to put his foot up his backside, how to motivate individuals, and how to take those arrows from the media. So day one, when he took all of the pressure off of the players and basically put the ball in Rob Manfred's court and said, something's got to be done because we know how this season is going to go. We know that there's going to be retribution sought throughout the league. Dusty Baker had the foresight to put all of that on Rob Manfred's plate before the first pitch of the season.
Dallas Braden here with this former big league pitcher, and he covers the A's for NBC Sports in California. I want to get you out with this one, man. I'm just curious, how big was this series in Oakland, being that the Astros have been the A's daddy here the last few years, and you've talked about it here, how much they've been better than the A's. How big was this series this weekend in Oakland?
Well, it was huge in terms of, I think, the players really believing what they have believed for a while, but needing to go out and prove it, if that makes sense. And it's that they feel like they're a better ball club. And let's not just negate something here. The Hall of Famer that you have on the shelf right now makes everything different. Yeah. A healthy Justin Verlander in that rotation makes everything different. Everything coming out of my mouth right now probably changes and has a slightly different tone if I don't have to worry about that dude taking the mound every 5 days. But since he's not and he's going to be done, I'm extremely confident in what I saw over the weekend, and I know those players are too, because maybe the Green Key Montas wipes each other out after that. I'm in love with what the starting rotation matchups look like, and I am in love with what those bullpen matchups look like. And as far as I'm concerned, the depth of the Oakland A's roster was on display, being able to plug and play guys when guys were getting moved around and the ejections occurred. Look, the depth is real, and what that series did is it solidified in the minds of the Oakland A's, we're the better ball club right now. We're the better ball club moving forward. And if Justin Verlander gives them a fighting chance and resurfaces in the postseason, we'll have our work cut out for us in that game.
Former big league pitcher Dallas Braden joining us on Sports Radio 610, Houston sports leader. Dallas, real quick, man, Altuve's struggling mightily right now, and it's here in Houston we're having a hard time wrapping our head around whether he's going to be able to get out of the slump in this shortened season and how long it's going to last. When you watch him over the last few games this past weekend, man, do you think he's in his head mentally because of the cheating scandal? Do you think he's just a great player in a slump? What are your thoughts when you see Altuve up there swinging?
We did a segment on this pregame, and it was a one-word thought about what we were seeing with some of the guys in the lineup, and the word that I used when it came to Altuve was confused. And because defensively, he just wasn't as sharp as we've seen him before, and we know him to be. Frankly, we expect him to be. And the aggression at the plate, I mean, I jokingly said, I think he's had six at-bats. I think he's swung at four first pitches. Like, he's swinging from the on-deck circle. And that's because he's probably not comfortable in working the at-bat right now, working the count, meaning there's an approach change or something that's going on with him mentally that he just doesn't feel comfortable or confident enough to maybe hit from behind in a count or work from behind. And he's been aggressive by nature his entire career. And something I think about is, if you were reliant upon a system that was giving you the answers to the test and now that system is gone, that's a reason why guys, you'll hear, say that they don't want to know. I don't want to know what's coming. Don't tell me, because you will innately become dependent on that system. As much as you might want to be the big, bad, brave guy who can take on 98 and spit on the 92 slider down and away, if it's championship season time and you get to know whether or not 92 slider is coming on the block or not, I think it's clear that some guys were like, yeah, tell me, let me know that. And now you don't have that resource. Now you're struggling. Like, oh man, was I really good enough? Well, the answer is yes. Like, I'm not so ignorant to tell you that Jose Altuve is a complete wash because he doesn't know what's coming now. That's no. That's ignorant to me. He is a great player, a tremendous caliber player. And I do think that with the noise going on around him, that is real. And to be able to compartmentalize that and go out and perform is not as easy as I think they anticipated it being. And let's be real, boys. The Astros have lucked out without having to show up to work and hearing people's opinions about what they did last year. So we can talk about the fights. We can talk about taunting people and all of that. Let's remember that, though, because that's why Astros fans like to go to the ballgame, right? You guys like to let the other team know just how good they're not, just how much they can't compete with your boys out on the field. Well, the guys who did what they did last year and maybe cheated some fans and some other players out of that experience, they don't have to deal with that this year. That's a win, whether you're winning or losing.
All right, thank you. Dallas Braden with us. We enjoyed your conversation with you, man. We'll see you again. These Astros are CAs again, and we'll see what happens going forward.
We'll see you boys August 29th. Be sure to look up in the sky. We'll have another banner for you. Welcome.
Oh, God. You're lucky I ain't got time, man, because I saw what you just did there with Altuve, and I'm going to let it go because I got to go to break. But I don't like that. Just going to prove because he's cheating now. He don't like Jose Altuve's just been cheating the whole time, and that's why I can't hit. See, I'm about to get in trouble. My producer's getting mad at me. Get out of here, Dallas. You got to be kidding me, man. You got to be kidding me. Clint Sterner's Football at 4 coming up next.
If the Astros want to shut people up, go out there, stick those baseballs and their baseballs and their bats where the sun doesn't shine.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.